CliffCentral.com.
All right, it is just after 7 o'clock, CliffCentral.com. Good morning. If you've just woken up and you just started your day, we are here to look after you. We're also here to take your calls and messages. So we got a couple of things. Cliff, when the power cucks again, this is a message I just got from somebody. Hang on, Leanne and CL, I'll be with you in a second. I'm just trying to figure out what's going on my computer here. While I'm getting that shit sorted out. Let me go back to these messages. So when the power cucks again, apparently, invest in a small generator. Small little portable radio. Sorry, not generator. No Wi-Fi, no data required, no electricity. Well, what you use, it's like a battery-operated thing? Okay. There's some interesting info. A small little radio, what for? What do I want to listen to the radio for? It's from Eddie. Can our government please stop saving us and just start saving their own party? The best is Rehality, Leanne, when it comes to inserting an H. Good morning, guys. I listen from Bulgaria every day. When can Leanne and Damon be on a show together? That'll be amazing. Oof.
For the greater good of humanity.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Being crime or not.
Yeah. This message just came through from Morgan. She says, after an economy-crushing lockdown and a faltering electricity supply, I, for one, 100% support this government investing my private pension fund. On an unrelated note, how is Perth this time of year? Yeah. Yeah, exactly. it's just unbelievable. So News 24 published this. We remain on alert level 3 of lockdown. Countrywide, make no mistake, there were heated debates about this, but they've spelt it level 3 of lockdown, not of lockdown. So they moved the F.
When was this article released?
No, this is from News 24. It's a tweet that they put out yesterday. It's a spelling error. Yeah, it's a typo. We were on level 3 of lockdown, but what they're saying is essentially sheeple. That you need to just do what the government tells you. Masks, masks, masks. Alcohol's run its course, 9 p.m. to 4 a.m. curfew. But it's interesting that should come from News 24. Just saying. Gareth, don't overreact, as in ovary. People are being very funny when there's load shedding. And that's from Justice. Raj says, he's quoting Jada Pinkett, don't let your husband stop you from finding the love of your life.
Reach.
All right. Yes, I really want to talk about this Pentecostal church and what happened there over the weekend. I don't know the story, but I just read some headlines, and it was just unbelievable.
Whoa, what a shit show.
Yeah. So who knows the facts here? Because you can tell the story then better than me.
So let's go with the surface layer, which is what we all heard on Saturday morning when the story originally broke and was slowly developing afterwards.
Okay.
What we know on the surface is that there were 200 odd people who were being held hostage in this church in the West Rand of South Africa, of Johannesburg. So International Pentecostal Holiness Church.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. Right. Okay. And we were trying to figure out firstly why they were over 200 people all trapped in a church. These people included women and children, and they were being held ransom for hours. 5 people were shot dead. Then we also later found out that at least 40 people were arrested, and then dozens of weapons were seized.
There were
weapons and crowbars and all sorts of things.
Mm-hmm. So just firstly, take that in for a moment. Then I thought, no, what is exactly going on? A spokesperson from the church, who's one of their priests, spoke out and said, this is all as a result of an ongoing leadership battle in the church since the founder of the church died in 2016. I thought, what?
But these are armed gangsters, because I saw a picture of the cache of weapons that these people had.
Mm-hmm.
Let me tell you, there's some serious artillery there.
Yeah.
You've got people, these are not just, a couple of handguns. This is not like a family feud. These are dangerous gangsters. I think it is time that the churches in South Africa, who also clearly have a lot of sway with government, are investigated. I think that it's time that we find out who's in charge of these churches, how much money they have. They should all pay tax, first and foremost. And we should find out exactly what their purpose is. Like, where do you get your money? How do you do your business? The people of this country are being swindled. They're being taken.
You'll really be pissed when I mention money later.
Well, go. Tell me.
Okay. So just to finish off what the church spokesperson said, they said that this whole attack was by a faction from the church's Jerusalem branch. Now, I don't know if it's the... I thought Jerusalem was all about peace and holiness. Well, clearly they're all about violence as well. So a faction from the church's Jerusalem branch was behind the attack. This splinter group came in and forcefully wanted to take over the church. They actually bulldozed the entrance. They drove in with a bucky and they drove through a gate that was locked. They managed to get access and others came through the back gate. And then they started to harass church members who were asleep at the time. So it is from
people that were asleep in the church.
Yeah, so
that I can believe.
It's from that statement that I assume perhaps the church was also a bit of a housing facility, hence how we got to 200 people. Otherwise, to me, it's still not clear how they got about to holding 200 odd people hostage.
All right. As someone who doesn't go to church, I'm very confused by all of this. This is all extremely odd.
And is church leadership so important to you that you'll bring guns to try and...
And also, yes, of course, because it's hugely profitable, Sia. But can I ask this? Like, we're meant to be, the president was just shitting on all of us last night for gathering and having parties. Now, how can 200 people be sleeping in the same building? Nobody finds that bizarre?
And no one wants to talk about that and discuss that?
I'm sorry. Yeah. Like, this is all very, very strange, to say the least.
Then I started digging into this church's past. I love some good mess that you can find. So this isn't the first time this church has been surrounded in drama. Back in 2018, police were called because there was a shootout between members. This is according to the IOL. How pissed must you be to bring guns to a fight around church?
Well, when there's money involved.
So this all took place in November of 2018. Once again, it was feuding factions within the church that resulted in the shootout. It left three people wounded outside the church quarters. And this is still as a result of leadership. And then there was also another scandal back in 2017 when 115 million rands at this church was not accounted for.
Jeez, like
115 million rand.
Where are they getting the money from?
Those poor people are sleeping in it.
Oh my word!
Yeah, this is a criminal activity. I'm sorry, they should shut this church down immediately. It is a criminal place with criminal activity going on. It's unacceptable that places like this are allowed to swindle ordinary people out of their money. It is despicable. This needs to be shut down. It's a criminal entity.
So back in 2017, it ended up going to court because now it was a he said, she said, and a pointing of fingers as to where this 115 million rands went. And in the court process, of course, you then have to disclose all of your amounts. This church was in possession of one particular Absa bank account that held 250 million rands.
No, come on.
That's just a bit of a side account. 250 million rands was in ownership by this church. And then casually, 115 million just goes accounted for.
It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. You see, this is shocking. These places are a disgrace. Don't tell me it's a church. This is a fraud operation. That's what
absolutely.
And the fact that suddenly, you know, took people with guns and a hostage situation and five deaths for us to wake up to this is an embarrassment. Law enforcement should be ashamed of themselves that they've only just figured this out now. Don't you think?
Jeez.
Because it's also, you know, maybe we could try to defend them if they were dealing with their business in a different way. When there are guns brought into something to solve a problem, that's through and through gang warfare.
It's gang war. That's what I was saying. So shut these churches down. Shut them down. This is a criminal activity that we do not need in this country. We've got enough criminals, and most of them are in the state. And I think that we need to draw up a list of churches, not approved, because I don't want government to approve churches, a list of them, and we check out the leadership of these churches. And if any of them have more than R1 million in their accounts, in any account, they should be shut down immediately. And that money should be used for COVID. How about that? Because if you go into the service of God, you're not going into it for the money. And if you are going into it for the money, you could be arrested. Let's make a rule. Let's lead the way on this one.
Yeah, well, they should at least be investigated.
Jesus.
Oh,
it makes me mad, man. All right, Gareth, I live in Perth, and most of the people are back at work. The borders of the state are still closed. Weekends, we're filling up pubs and restaurants. We're smoking, drinking, and hugging and stumping. life is good. There's never been a ban on alcohol or smoking. Western Australia had very few deaths and infections. Authorities did a great job. It's just bullshit that the South African government treat people like kids. Well, you're lucky you're in Perth. I can't believe I'm saying that, Vinny, but there we go.
I'm moving to Perth.
Well, maybe those people were smarter than you and me.
Yeah, perhaps.
We are not allowed social visits. This is a different message now. This is from Rickus. He says, we're not allowed social visits. However, local taxis can operate at 100% capacity, while at the same time applying social distancing of 2 meters. We have some big-ass taxis in this country if you can load it to capacity and at the same time apply social distancing.
Yeah, and also 100% loaded in South Africa doesn't mean as many seats as there are in the taxi.
Yeah, correct.
It means 125% loaded.
So again, if you're a taxi operator, you get to strong-arm government into exactly whatever you want, and they have to agree because they have to save face. But the rest of us must follow these rules. Please. I'm so damn happy listening to you guys. I accidentally discovered you on Spotify over the weekend, and I'm in heaven.
I'm
32. I listened to you throughout high school until you left radio. Awesome show, guys. Really missed you and the gang, even Damon. Okay, well, that's
welcome,
nice.
Welcome to heaven.
Thanks very much. Yes, this is heaven.
Please take a seat, relax, put up your feet, and listen to the holiness that comes from our mouths.
Sean says, stop beating around the bush with the alcohol ban. The reason is easy. Unfortunately, in townships and informal settlements, space is very limited. This is where the parties are, and unfortunately, this is also where the stabbings and the gunshot incidents take place. I'm probably going to get into trouble for this, but this is the truth.
Well,
I don't know, Sean.
I'm a little confused by that point.
It is the truth. I mean, the places with the highest rate of infection at the moment is Soweto and the south of Joburg.
The South. Those are your
in
people.
The South, I know.
I sent Leanne a picture the other day. Do you want to tell people what it was?
Yeah, it was a little kid standing in front of a map, and they said, where is South America? And he pointed to the map, and he said, there. And the next one said, where is the south of Joburg? And in the next frame, he had his hand on his heart, and he said, here.
Is that true for you, Leanne?
Definitely not. Definitely
south,
not.
The South.
You know, the only reason we lived in the South as a family is because my dad, the family business was in printing, and the factory was in the south of Joburg. So, yeah, and that was only for...
So you don't even have Southern credentials then, really?
No, in fact, I was born in the East.
Oh, my God, you've got the East and the South. I'm surprised you're not a gangster in this church.
Well, listen, it could have happened, hey? There were slippery times in my past where I could have been strayed into gangsterism.
You could have. Yeah, I mean, you did have a gang at school, but we won't go back down that road. All right, here's a point that's being made by somebody, I think a very good point. Ndipiwe says, they won't shut down that church because that's where they go to get votes. The church has 2 million members. Yeah, it's like they're the government. And it's like the government won't shut down taxis because they own some of them, as Bulelo has said so many times, and because the taxi industry just doesn't care what government tells them. They're going to do their own thing anyway. So, you know, it's different rules. The whole point of living in a society is that you are treated equally under the law. The law can't make us all equal, but it must treat us all equally. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does.
So the law is not treating us all equally, because there are churches where you can have 200 people and the government won't shut them down, no matter what the COVID NCCC says. And there are taxi buses who can operate however they would like because the government can't tell them what to do. So we're not equal under the law. And that is the main reason that so many people would be upset. Treat me the same as Leanne and as Sia and as a taxi owner. That's what you need to do. That's all you need to do as government. Morning, guys. How are you enjoying your communism this morning? Isn't it fun being treated like a child by your government? What a bunch of mouth-breathing cunt nuggets. That's from Carl. Sure, Carl.
Jeepers, someone's upset this morning.
All right.
Cunt nuggets.
Sure, that's a hell of a word. Rod says, Oki says, he's got some terrifying figures here. Victoria's Secret declared bankruptcy. Zara closed 1,200 stores.
Dave LaChapelle.
Chanel has discontinued production. Hermes has discontinued production. Patek Philippe has discontinued production. Rolex discontinued production. The world's luxury industry is crumbling. Nike has a total of $23 billion preparing for the second stage of layoffs. Gold's Gym filed for bankruptcy, blah, blah, blah. It goes through all of these things about how bad the situation is. And then this comes in from Eddie. Eddie says, SARS is on my ass again. I received a message saying I owe 14,000 Rand in tax. I will phone them and tell them I am the Tokolosh and they should wipe my tax clear. Yeah,
Eddie, please tell us how successful that is.
Yeah, let us know, because if that works, Eddie, I'm doing the same.
To that previous message, I don't know if all of those are particularly accurate, and also to lump them all in one. Victoria's Secret was easily suffering financially two years ago because they just weren't relevant anymore and people are pushing for wholesome body positivity and people weren't buying anymore because not everyone is a size -7 like the Victoria's Secret models and me. But moving on, I think...
I love the way you dropped that in there. Beautiful job, Sia. Nice.
Moving on, people are still going to be spending on high-end luxury stuff. So I think like Hermes and Rolex and whatnot, they might have...
I think Sia just body-shamed the rest of us on Earth.
I'm not body-shaming, I'm just stating facts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. All right, Sia, whatever.
We'll fact-check that a little later.
Man, there's a lot of interesting news. Okay, we've got a couple of things to get to this morning. Now that we've dealt with that Pentecostal church thing, can we just talk a little bit about the Zoom tools that you need to take your virtual meetings to the next level? Because who isn't looking for that right now? I'm so zoomed out. I'm done with that stuff. Aren't you? You had enough?
Yeah, but it's the way of life.
No, I know it's not going anywhere. This is the new way to do things, but I hate it. I won't lie.
The new normal.
The new normal.
Well, I mean, whether it's Zoom, Skype, or Google Meet, there's WebEx. Zoom is probably the widest used.
That are great. Carry on, very good English. You were.
So there's something that I didn't know about. You often find yourself in a situation on Zoom where you're saying to your colleague, okay, now press that button there. No, not that one. Yeah. The one just to the right.
Yes.
Zoom has something called remote desktop control.
Oh, I know what that is, because I've used that sometimes to connect to the studio.
Ah.
But what's scary about that is that someone else could take control of your machine.
Yeah. Mm. Well, the participants actually have to request or share control over documents on their screen or even their computer. So it's almost like the team viewer.
Ah, yes. Okay. Yeah, team viewer. Remote access control.
It's pretty useful when you're collaborating on documents and presentation and that sort of things, or if you're troubleshooting on another user's device.
Okay.
Sometimes you might even be showing your parents or your grandparents how to use, you know, something on their computer.
So you're not saying this is a dangerous thing. You're saying this can be quite useful if you need to show someone how to operate something properly. Okay, yeah, I got you.
Yeah.
That's good.
Then there's something called the annotation function.
Yeah.
So
what are that?
It's similar to the remote desktop control. It allows meeting participants to bring attention to a particular element on the screen being shared, but without being having granted access to their screen or the device. So the annotation toolbar lets them insert text, draw shapes or lines. You can add icons like stars or check marks.
Okay.
Or you can turn your cursor into a spotlight or an arrow.
That's quite handy.
Yeah, it is.
I like this. This is useful. See, Leanne, you're teaching us things. This is what we need to know.
Very good. There's something called push to talk.
Push to talk. What are it?
So as we know, proper Zoom etiquette entails participants muting their audio when it's not their turn to speak.
Yes.
There's still a lot of people who don't understand this, especially people at home with children. If you're not talking, just mute it.
Did you just child shame people?
It's not only that, it's pets. I have to do it often.
Okay.
I've got pets either fighting or scratching something. So instead of fumbling for the correct button on your screen, you can use Zoom's push to talk feature.
Yes.
So all you do is you hold down the space bar on your computer. This is obviously only available on the desktop version. Mm-hmm. And you need to enable it in your settings.
Okay.
So also pressing Alt plus A on your keyboard allows you to mute and unmute your audio easily without having to press the space bar or find the button.
Oh, it's like when you go to those auditoriums where you've got a mic in front of you and you have to press the thing to talk. I got you.
Yes.
All right. Very fancy.
Very fancy. There's something called breakout rooms.
Ooh. That sounds like it's not a good idea during COVID.
It's not the naughty corner.
What are it?
You can assign participants to breakout rooms. So as the meeting host, you're dealing with a lot of people in your meeting. Mm-hmm. You can divide your meetings into smaller groups of up to 50 prior to the beginning of your meeting. Then those participants can discuss privately within their separate groups. And then they just ping the host if they need assistance.
Okay. So this is almost like you've got those conference breakaways.
Yes. It's like educational lectures, team-based activities and things like that.
We're learning things. And you can do all of this on Zoom.
Yeah. Shit. And then the last thing is the waiting room function. But this is something that I definitely knew about. I'm sure you guys did too.
No. I do. Hang on.
Yeah,
this is where, like, if someone else is the host of the meeting, they can decide whether you are admitted into the room or not.
Yeah, and it's a good thing because it's not very good look for you to be setting up your presentation, like, while they're already in the meeting.
Okay.
So it allows you to control. So you allow your clients or whoever to come in, keep them in the waiting room, and then set up your presentation and get all ready.
Oh, that's a sensible thing to do. Okay, cool. Is there anything else we need to know? Because this sounds like you need a PhD to be able to operate Zoom now.
No, it's not that hard. Obviously, there's different Zoom backgrounds you can use as well and that sort of thing. But there's even more with the pro feature, but then I'm going to start sounding like an ad, so we won't go
there. So I've tried these virtual backgrounds. I love them. You can have like an animated tropical island in the background, or you can have like the skyline of San Francisco.
Cool. I can't take someone seriously with those.
Oh, come on.
It might be quite fun for some client presentations, depending on what.
The reason why is because I tried that with a call with friends, and I realized this could go very, very far, because I put up a picture of Idris Elba kissing someone behind me, and if you angle your face just at the right angle. It looked like, people just take it a little too far.
It's hilarious.
Oy, oy, oy. By the way, you know a lot of people who've got COVID now? We were talking about this earlier, and I'm finding out more and more that there
are. Yeah, it's starting.
Yeah. So
I know someone who's, not personally, but I know of someone, my tenant's friend who I know, her grandfather passed away from COVID over the weekend.
No shit.
Yeah, I've got colleagues whose father-in-laws have it, etc.
So
it's still a little bit removed, but it's going to come.
I think there are a lot of people who suddenly, you know, they know someone who has it.
Yeah. Like, for instance, you know, I had my domestic worker come back, but I'm now going to retract that.
Are you going to say that she doesn't still, have to come still, work?
Yeah, I still pay her.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Yeah, these are decisions.
Do you know of any?
Everybody has to make. No, I mean not like close people that I'm aware of, but I'm hearing stories, and I'm always a little bit suspicious of these things because I think people also like to tell stories, like they like to be in the drama.
Mm-hmm.
There are people who want to be part of what's going on, and I'm reticent to take that too seriously because I know that there's a lot of attention seeking that does happen, and it's very bizarre. It's just typical human behavior, though, so.
What interests me is the COVID antibody testing.
Yeah.
So no, I don't properly know what that means.
Okay, I'll explain it to you.
Yeah,
I can try. I'm probably going to get this 80% right, and then a doctor's going to have to call in and correct me. So there are two kinds of – there are the IgGs and the IgMs, I think. But part of them – okay, so you get two kinds of antibodies. You get the ones that mean – that your body has dealt with COVID and that you have those antibodies in your bloodstream and your white blood cells can produce them. And okay. That you've now made it through COVID, right? Those are the first kind. The second kind are the acute ones that mean your body is currently fighting an infection. And you can have either of those and they will prove that you either have or have had COVID. They're doing those tests now, and they're pretty simple tests to do. They're not 100% accurate all of the time, like any tests are, but they're interesting to pay attention to. So that's what.
And they cost, I think, 300 rand. So if you want to put your mind at rest, and you I mean you may already have had COVID, and you can say, okay, I've had it, and I have the antibodies. It's not 100% foolproof because there are people who are getting it for a second time.
Yeah, but there are also people who, and they're doing a lot of research around this in the U.S. at the moment, and they're starting to find that young people who are asymptomatic are highly unlikely to have passed on the disease at any stage. So that's
and then, pardon my ignorance, how do they do these antibody tests?
Who knows? It might be a swab.
I think it's a finger prick, like a, you know, like they do those HIV tests now and all of those.
Okay. Mm.
But if a doctor if any doctors want to call in and correct anything that I've said, I'm more than happy to, you know, have you fix what I fucked up, essentially. All right, there's lots of interesting stuff in the world to talk about right now, but one of the things I want to talk about is our award-winning Blind History podcast series with Taylor Blinds and Shutters. It's become a clear fan favorite over the past few seasons, and if you don't know, we've also done something quite revolutionary there. We have been busy with the first ever South African sign language supported podcast. Now, I know that sounds crazy, but you know, there are deaf people who want to listen to podcasts. They obviously want to be involved with the content, and we've decided to do something with Thuli Zikalala, who is one of 11 South African Translation Institute accredited interpreters. You've probably seen her on TV a couple of times. We thought we would chat to her about this morning. So, Thuli, very nice to have you on the show. How are you?
Morning, Gareth. Morning, Sia Lee. Morning to the listeners. Good morning, everyone. I'm well, thank you. How are you?
I'm excellent. Now, first of all, thanks for doing this with us because it really is revolutionary and groundbreaking. And I know it's got plenty of attention already, but it probably will get even more. We're doing a podcast, and we're doing it for deaf people. And this is amazing. So sign language interpretation around the content of our Blind History series. Have you ever done anything like this before for audio only, Thuli?
I think there might be a bit of a delay. Yeah. But how does it actually work?
So she
does it not need to be visual?
She takes the episode, yeah. So we make a video out of it. Ah. She takes the episode and then she basically in real time does a translation. I'm sure you've seen Tuli on TV. She's sometimes done like important news stuff when it breaks, and she's in the studio there in the corner of the screen doing her thing. Let's try and get her back, because I think we cut out right at the critical moment where she was going to answer a question. She's a South African SATI, that's the South African Translation Institute, accredited interpreter. She's also the first interpreter in the country to translate a podcast into sign language. In her career, she's focused on interpreting SASL for English-speaking audiences, but one of the highlights of her career was interpreting the State of the Nation Address, in February 2020. She's also interpreted for Afro-Punk Solution Sessions, which is a platform that brings together people to talk about issues facing communities. And she was the first person in South Africa to translate at the festival. Hey, Tuli, you're back.
I'm back. Sorry about that. Connection seems to be a problem.
No problemo. Okay, so first of all, congrats on doing this, but you've done a lot of firsts. You've done a lot of really interesting stuff. Tell me, do you sometimes, when you're busy translating in real time and doing the sign language interpretation, do you sometimes do that even in your spare time? Like right now, I can see your hands are in your lap. You're keeping them off the screen. But aren't you – isn't it like almost a habit now? That
second
you,
nature.
Yeah, that you start
second
doing this.
Nature. So let's start off the conversation on the right foot thing. So it's not translation. It's interpreting.
Right.
And I think this is what exactly it is. We need to learn and educate people and spread awareness. So something so simple like the term translation, people might think that, you can get away with it. But you need to start from the get-go to introduce and allow people to use the right terms. So it is second nature. I am really, wanting to use my hands, but I'm putting my hands on my lips because it can be very distracting. I use my hands a lot, so it's not always easy to keep my hands still. Yes.
I love it. How hard was it for you to learn to do this interpretation, and when did you start? How old were you when you started? Have you got a family member who's deaf, or how did it become a thing for you?
Sure. Fantastic. So the actual plan was to study at UPerth University, and the plan was to study psychology. Mm-hmm. And one of the majors that I had to take was SASL, South African Sign Language. Mm-hmm. I didn't know much about it, and that wasn't the plan. I found it very fascinating. I do have a deaf family member. I've got a deaf cousin, but he, at the time, wasn't really the reason why I decided to go into sign language. And I worked my way up. I started from the bottom. I learned the language.
Really,
I think we've lost her again. This is great. It's probably load shedding. You know that.
No.
Yeah, it affects.
She's frozen now.
Everything.
All right. Well, we'll try and get her back. But I mean, that sounds really interesting. I don't know a lot about sign language, and I don't know how to do any sign language at all. I mean, it's one of our official languages, isn't it?
Well, we're seeing. I'm not sure about that, but we're seeing more and more of it. Obviously, being. Watching the president's address and official, announcements and things like that. And I'm absolutely fascinated to watch them, usually the interpreters, it's not the right word to use now. But it looks exhausting to try and keep up with it through a whole speech.
That level of interpretation is a lot of work. I have mentioned this before, that it was a silly thing that my sister and I did at home growing up. We just learned how to sign each letter of the alphabet using your hands, just so that we can gossip about everyone at home. So it was just something that we did. And look, I cannot even profess to say I completely understand, but hey, it worked out. It made our teenage years fun.
Ironically, I mean, here's the irony of all ironies. We couldn't hear Tuli earlier. So Tuli, go ahead, because you were busy explaining like you had a deaf cousin and then we cut out somewhere.
Yes, sorry about that. I'm not sure what's happening with connection today.
Right.
So he wasn't really the reason why I went into sign language, and now I find myself as an interpreter. I just found it fascinating. Usually when you don't understand or know something, you fear it.
Yeah.
But I'm the opposite. I go for the things that I don't understand. I go for the things that fear and that scare people. So I worked out my way. I learned the language. I became fluent in the language. And then I also have to master the skills. So that's a very important thing you need to understand, that you need to know the language, any language that you choose. It could be a spoken language. In this case, it's a visual language. Yes. And then you master the skill of interpreting. I think if people could understand that if the two go hand in hand, then we won't have the things that are happening in our industries where there's a big disservice to the communities that we serve.
Yeah, you know, it's beautiful to watch when someone can do this effectively, but it must be really hard to be listening to somebody like the president during the State of the Nation and simultaneously being able to perform the correct sign language in order to do it in real time and not lose your place. I mean, I sometimes will be reading something and I'm thinking of something else and I get confused.
So interpreting is a cognitively demanding task. It's not easy. There's so many techniques that we have and strategies that you have to apply real time. You have to listen. You need to understand. You need to decode. You need to know the language. You need to produce all at the same time. And you also need to be aware of your environment and deal with the stress levels that you may be going through. So something that's very important is to have a co-interpreter, to have someone to support you during the whole journey. I would not advise someone doing such a high level setting like a live setting of the State of the Nation address with someone who's not experienced. Yeah. So I was lucky and fortunate to have amazing mentors in my life, you know, people who laid the foundation, people who were just, you know, helping us in our journey. I think that also we are, you know, as you see me shine, but honestly, I'm really standing on the shoulders of giants, you know, in the industry, people who just went ahead, you know, my mentors, you know, the likes of Salma Kutsia, you know, Pietro de Toit, Natasha, people that you might not know, but for me, these are people that I really look up to, because I, for the first time I could see that it's possible. You can actually work hard and aim high and make everything possible. You can be accredited. You can make a career out of this. You can be a professional. You know, and people can respect you in the industry and still serve your community. So it's fantastic.
That's incredible.
So Tuli, I just noticed that Thamsanqa Yankees was one of your mentors. Who was at Nelson Island Memorial.
Yes, he was the best. I mean, kudos to him. You know, I really give him a high five for that. No, absolutely not. I mean, he caused a big disservice for everyone. I mean, sure, what he did was really erase the hard work that we put in trying to make sure that we push humanity forward. And on a global scale, you know, the guts that it took for him to do that, I mean, what was going through his mind?
Yeah, he did it at Madiba's funeral, right?
That was, he did.
That was where he embarrassed all of us. And yeah. It went all over the world. And now you say that there are only 11 of you who are accredited like this. That must mean that there's plenty of work, because we are required in certain – I mean, like you had to give up your permanent job before this. Now you're doing this permanently. But it's not all fun and games. Is there enough work for the 11 of you?
So there are many interpreters. There are many people who so-called call themselves professional interpreters. I think there's a little bit of this lack of awareness in terms of the industry. So anyone can just rock up and say, I'm an interpreter. I just know the basics of the language, so I can be an interpreter. And because companies and industries and even the communities we serve, they're not so clued up. And they were desperate for this communication, or desperate for this access to information. So they'll just take anyone. So out of the many interpreters that seem to be out there, we only have 11 accredited. And even that, accreditation is a controversial topic on its own. It's a hot topic in the industry. People don't see the reason why you should be accredited. I mean, especially if you've got clients, if you're already making money, now why must I go and get accredited and go through this whole process? So for me, I'll talk about myself. I'll talk about the advantages of being accredited. I am pro-accreditation. I advocate accreditation. Look where it's gotten me in my career. And I really hope that I can change the narrative. I hope that people who look up to me, people that are watching and listening, they can be inspired to take the exam. It's a tough exam, I must tell you. Not easy. I failed. It's the first time. I tried it in 2017. And, you know, I could have easily just walked away. I could have easily just decided to give up and make excuses and blame people. But I had a bigger vision that was beyond myself. And that's the reason why I decided to go back again in 2018. And here I am. I'm one of 11 accredited interpreters in the country. SASL interpreters in the country.
It's amazing. Well, congrats to you. Do you all know each other? All you interpreters?
It's a small community. We do know each other. The industry is quite small. Yeah. I think the only difference is now the generation is changing. You can definitely see that the generation changed. So like I was saying, that I'm standing on the shoulders of giants. You see me shining, but really there are people who went before me, who just laid the foundation. And it's almost like they're passing on the baton over to us, the younger generation. And they are, I'm taking the baton and I'm running my race, Gareth. I'm running and I want to finish the race and I want to finish and I want to win the race as well. The things that we're doing as well, the collaboration that we're doing, the amazing projects that we're doing are some of the things that we can highlight. It's not as traditional as it was before. I think that's with young people. Young people take risks. You know, young people are daring. Mm. Young people to, you know, get out of their comfort zone, as opposed to perhaps the older generation who do things in the traditional way, because something works, let's keep it that way for a long time and we don't see the need to change.
Yeah, I think it's great that we're doing this podcast together. It is a first of its kind, and it wasn't something that I immediately understood, because to me, you know, having been in radio, I've never really had an appreciation for the deaf community. And there are millions of people in South Africa who are either impaired in some way or are completely deaf. And for them to not be exposed to great content seems to me like an injustice in some way.
It is. It can even, you know, go as far as calling it a violation of a human right, you know, access to information, you know, access to freedom of expression. I think that what we're trying to do, Gareth, and I'm so excited that your team actually took the risk on me. You were the first door that I knocked on, and guess what? You said yes. And I think I was very strategic, I must say, in approaching you, because I know your background and I know the kind of personality and the team that you have. You people take risks. You people lead the way. We're industry leaders. So you are the leader in the online digital media industry, and I'm a lead, I'm an influential SSL interpreter, and I hope that our collaboration is giving other people permission and showing them that this is possible, that you can get out of your comfort zone, out of your immediate industry, and that's where the magic happens, when you try and, you know, see and do things that are beyond your physical reality, something that's never been done. And look at the media traction, look at the amazing change we've been doing. I must say that my life will never be the same, Gareth. Our collaboration will go out in history.
I think, you know what, let's give credit where it's due. It's not due to me. I know Greg and Dori and Rina have been very big advocates of what you do, and I'm very proud of them for having brought it to my attention. I'm pretty stupid about these things. Sometimes it takes me a while to catch on, so don't give me any credit.
Definitely. I mean, Greg has been fantastic. He's been guiding me along the journey. We communicate often back and forth, and he's the one just giving me the heads up and giving me updates of what to expect. Just about what you just mentioned, I was in the newspaper article a couple of weeks ago, and my aunt asks me, like, you know, Thuli, I saw you in the paper. What do you do? Uh-huh. And then I explain, I'm an interpreter, you know, and then, what's a podcast, you know, and then I explain what a podcast is. So then what's the hype? Like, why are you in the papers? Why do we see you in the news? So just like you're saying, that there's lack of awareness. Yeah. This is my family, mind you. These are people that I grew up with. They don't get what we're doing. They don't get why it's such a big thing. We've actually created a new industry. So there's a lot of groundwork that needs to be done. There's a lot of education that needs to be done. I thought that people had no idea about SSL interpreting. It seems like people don't know much about podcasting either, and the freedom and wealth of knowledge that they can use to inform and make decisions in their daily lives. We definitely need to bridge the gap, and this is a first. I hope it's a step in the right direction.
Well, thank you for taking that step in the right direction with us. It's amazing, and I'm very happy to talk to you this morning, and please keep up the good work, and let's see what else we can do.
Thank you, Gareth. Thank you to the team. It's been a long awaited journey, and I'm looking forward to more collaborations going forward. Thanks.
Thanks, Thuli. Thuli Zikalala, who's a sign language interpreter and now blind history interpreter for us as well. So if you want to go check it out, you can go and see it on cliffcentral.com, and we've got the videos there, and we're doing some new and interesting things. I think it's very cool. All right. Very nice.
What an awesome project.
Yeah. She's terrific, though, isn't she?
Yeah. Yeah, who would have ever thought that this is something that we would do?
So, I mean, blind history is just, like, it's gathering up all these accolades, left, right, and center. It's now we're the only history podcast that is sign language interpreted. We've won awards in New York. It's phenomenal.
It's amazing, and it all came from just a mutual love of talking about history. Mm-hmm. Shows you how these real passions are what grow so quickly and organically.
Well, we think that inclusivity and not exclusivity is the way to go. And it's especially true with podcasts where the audience chooses you and you don't target your listeners. And we know that some of our listeners might want to access this stuff in different ways. And maybe you've got someone in your family or a friend of yours who is hearing impaired and they want to listen to this stuff, but you have no way to present it to them. Well, now you do.
I must tell you, I have such a new appreciation for subtitles.
Oh, yeah.
So for some reason, lately I've been battling a little bit with my hearing.
What?
Just very, very slightly.
Oh, no.
Uh-oh, Leanne.
I think it's from years of headphones and all of that sort of thing.
Don't say that.
Sia, have you approached those other people that I said we need as backups for when she loses her hearing?
Yes.
But seriously, though.
Ashley's standing in the way.
Yeah, great. I like Ashley. She's nice.
Oh, you know what, Gareth? We can actually keep Leanne because she won't notice that we aren't talking to her. We'll just, you know, she'll amuse herself in the corner chatting away, but we'll mute her mic.
So weird. I can't hear you.
We'll get Tuli to translate for her. I mean, to interpret. It's not translate.
So I have found, especially because I don't like having my TV volume up really loudly.
Okay.
Because I just respect the people that live on the property and my neighbors, etc.
Okay.
So, and you know, you have that thing where when there's a gunfight, it's 15 times louder than the conversation.
Well,
and that really annoys me.
The ads that come on and they are much louder. Yeah.
I like to keep the volume down so that I don't have to keep on reaching for the remote. And I've been watching with subtitles. So when I can't really hear, I'm reading the subtitles and it's so much better, especially when you're watching something where there's a lot of terminology that you don't really get, you wouldn't hear normally. And I'm picking up so much more by doing this, and you can stop laughing, Sia.
I'm sorry, Leanne. I'm so – no, there's nothing that I can say right now.
Are you going to be an ageist?
This is such an old lady thing. What?
I was thinking the same thing.
You know what? It's not only that. I need to hear every single word and understand everything.
I didn't even know that stat, that gunshots are 15 times louder. Just take it all.
It's an old lady thing. Leanne is, you know what, Leanne? Someone sent a lovely email to me. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but they basically said what they love about you is that you talk so honestly and openly about all the things in your life. And there are so few people in the world who do this. I mean, this is really one of the... In some ways, you're like a secret weapon because of this. You just don't hold back. You know, you were talking the other day about that, with the hair on your chinny chin chin that you suddenly had.
Yes.
And someone said, well, don't worry about that. That's normal and it's hormonal and it's what happens to women at a certain age. And they just, this email was basically saying, you know, Leanne, we appreciate you so much because you share all this stuff, which the rest of us are embarrassed to talk about or we think is inappropriate. And I mean, that's very cool. So thank you.
Yes.
Well, thank you for listening. I mean,
I'm here to support you, Leanne.
Yes,
at least, even if you guys laugh at me, at least I've been able to verbalize the words to someone, and it's not just in my head anymore.
And for all you know, there are other people out there who are feeling the same way and have the same things going on.
Otherwise, there wouldn't be things like subtitles, you know?
Right. I'll tell you where subtitles, and this links to something we were talking about earlier. Subtitles have come in pretty handy with these Zoom calls and things.
Oh, yeah?
Because on, like now, we're on a Google Hangout together, right? And if I hit the translate thing and I miss something that you said or it gets jumbled up and I don't hear it perfectly clearly, then I can always just check the subtitles. It's quite
handy. You can turn on captions. Mm-hmm. Is that it?
That's what I'm talking about.
Sometimes it screws it up.
Oh, okay. I'll turn them off. You know where else it's very useful, these subtitles?
Tell me.
Some of the TV series that I'm watching, when there is a lot of music that goes in as well and you think, sure, I really like that song, it comes up as the song starts playing. It says the song title and artist.
Who knew? So you can – it's like a Shazam, a real-time TV Shazam.
A live real-time Shazam. Shut up, Sia. Stop shaking your head.
No. You're trying.
I'm never inviting you over to watch The Bachelor with me with the subtitles.
Yeah, well, Leanne, it's fine because I actually like to hear and see what I take in on the screen. Not just...
I bet you I take in even more because I can read the words.
You two are like an old married couple. I'm calling quits on this now.
Hey, you mentioned The Bachelor. Did you hear the next season of The Bachelor SA will actually be The Bachelorette? Yes. Well, right, if it was of information.
If it was The Bachelor again, it would have been like people would have been up in arms.
Well, so, Leanne,
what happened
with
the last one? Is he still on? Or?
No, it's finished.
Oh, did he find a girl?
I don't know what happened. I lost interest because you lost interest, Gareth.
What happened to that last Bachelor?
This is what's weird. I never watched the last two shows, and I've never watched them again.
I'm only asking because I thought you guys were so into it.
I was watching everything. I was making notes and everything, and then lockdown happened and things got weird, and I just stopped watching it. I don't know. I was, like, worried about other things in life, like dying.
I wonder if that happened to other people.
So, but it's still available on DSTV because it's, I think, it was either available until the 25th of June or the 25th of July.
Yeah, I'm not rushing to get that, but I thought you guys had watched. Sorry, didn't mean to bring it up if it's a painful issue.
It looks like there was an ending. There was a Jessica C who ended up with Mark, but then now this Jessica C has moved on and now is in the arms of a Burka Hanekom. From Wurme, Sinme, Sunme.
Oh my
goodness me.
God, that sounds so rough.
You actually can't make this up.
Yeah, you can't make this up.
Sure. Okay, well, there's some exciting news.
I didn't even know Wurme, Sinme, Sunme was a thing.
Imagine that.
Sounds like something on GateNet.
Imagine that in sign language interpretation. Sure. All right, everybody, it's been fun. Thank you for joining us this morning. There have been one or two little technical issues that have bothered me this morning, but otherwise I hope it's been good for you. Was it as good for you as it was for me?
Yes, so good that I'm going to go and have a cigarette.
I think you would have had a cigarette regardless, Leanne Moore.
And I'm sorry that the president decided that we're all children and we need to be marshaled back into quarantine and prohibition. But you know what? We'll handle it because that's how we are.
This too shall pass.
Here's the country going pineapple crazy again and making their own mampur.
Watch, it's going to happen. It's not good. Okay, everybody, have a good day. Enjoy your Monday.
Have a good one.
And we'll see you tomorrow morning. Thanks, Leanne. All right, very nice. Cheers. See you in the morning. CliffCentral.com.